Backseat Producers, episode number 81, The Hustler and the Color of Money. Hey, this is Tony.
This is Tony.
And this is Adam.
And we are the Backseat Producers.
Actually, this is David, sorry.
Don't you start that crap.
Sorry. Anyway.
Yeah, he did actually watch the movies. Yeah, we've got the chat room going again.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. God only knows what episode this is by the time we get them all released.
Yeah, let me apologize for the slow release schedule. That is totally and completely my fault. I have been slammed at work. Excuse. And that's why I have not been editing the episodes in a timely manner.
But that's all right. We'll get them out soon.
And I have not contributed in any way to helping the process along. But I don't feel guilty about it.
Wow.
So let's
Meg
proceed.
Is here. Hey, Meg. How's it going? That's impressive.
Geist Bear. Hey. Thomas. How's it going, man? All right, so tonight we're going to talk about The Hustler and Color of Money.
In honor of
Paul Newman.
Paul Newman, who
because
sadly passed away about a month ago.
We are the recently dead guy.
Yes, we are. Proving once again. What's really sad is that I had these two movies on the list because I wanted to talk about them before Paul Newman died. And I get both of the movies and I watch them about a week apart. And I watched Hustler, then I watched Color of Money. And like 3 days later, Paul Newman dies. It was just so weird.
It was weird, too, because Color of Money was on. I was out at my dad's, and he gets satellite.
Uh-huh.
It was on one of the movie channels. And so we watched it. And then, like, yeah, a week later, he died. So it was really bizarre.
So basically what you guys are saying is that you killed Paul Newman.
Yeah, we both watched Color of Money in the same weekend. And he couldn't handle it.
Oh, man. Somebody just said 13th Warrior. We gotta do it. Crichton just died. We can do it. That's us.
Yeah,
I love that movie.
We're,
I haven't seen that one.
What?
That's the Eaters of the Dead.
Yeah,
it's Eaters of the Dead.
Okay.
Yeah, and if you're trying to keep track of when we record versus when things released...
Don't.
Michael Crichton died today. This is the day after the election.
Right.
So,
yep.
There
so
you go.
On February 28th... You'll get this podcast.
Hey, I'm not that far behind.
You might get this.
That I'm
you might get this by inauguration day.
That's terrible. Anyway.
All right,
moving on,
because Adam really wants to talk. You know what? I don't think we have any business, and that's fine.
We have no business.
Next. Except we're doing this on Wednesday nights. Come out to the live stream. People are chatting.
Yep.
People are making fun of other people in the chat room. We're making fun of them. It's all
good.
Fun.
I just have to skip over the order of the movies and ask you a general question. Second Scorsese movie you watched, how do you feel?
Actually, I enjoyed Color of Money.
All right.
I don't necessarily think that I enjoyed it because it was a Scorsese movie. I think I enjoyed
probably in
it.
Probably spite of that. Huh?
Because it was the second half of Fast Eddie.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Until we get further into it, I'll just leave it as that.
All right. So, this one's going to be weird because we're talking about two movies. So let's go ahead and give the kind of overview of both of the movies first.
Okay. What did you guys think of The Hustler?
I thought it was great.
High level?
It's great. It's a character study.
Oh, man. I didn't like The Hustler. Oh.
It's a character study. I wouldn't expect that you would.
You know what?
There is little to no plot to it. It's,
yes,
it is strictly about the characters in the room.
Yes, and you know what? I have put my finger on what kills me about movies that were made before I was born, because you've made me watch these movies that are
the black and white stuff.
No, the black and white doesn't bother me. It's the way that the dialogue is delivered. because of the conditioning of the internet, all of the content media sources that I have now, if I am not listening, silence bothers me. Silence in a produced media bothers me.
Yeah.
And in The Hustler and all of the movies of that era, there is a lot of quiet.
Yeah, so there's no score.
There's no sound effects.
It's all about the dialogue.
Yeah, but there's also a lot of sound effects in those movies, too.
There can be
an absence of score, you'll hear someone putting ice in a drink, and it all adds to the atmosphere. I actually like the way old movies are made in a lot of ways.
Yep, it's almost a hallmark of my generation that it bothers me when they spend 15, 30 seconds, 45 seconds on them filling the drink, putting the ice in, doing the liquor, and then once that's done,
deliberate though. I mean, they're meant to create.
You're creating a scene. You're creating an atmosphere.
Yeah,
and you know what? Modern filmmaking shortcuts that by using music.
Music to
create an atmosphere.
And the edits are just quicker now.
Yeah.
I mean, they're way fast. My brother and I were talking about this today.
You and I have had that discussion before. And actually, I think you and I have had the discussion before about the pacing of movies is completely different from, like, pre-1980 to now. I mean, the pacing is just totally different. Look at the pacing of Star Wars
and New Hope. George Lucas said in the commentary of Star Wars, he said, the pacing at the time was incredibly fast.
Yeah,
it was ahead of its time. Now he says people can barely sit through the, you know, the C-3PO desert scene.
It's a slow movie.
Yeah. So, and Armin and I were talking about Blade Runner today. We were talking about a lot of Ridley Scott. We were talking about Kingdom of Heaven, the director's cut, and Blade Runner, the director's cut. And we were basically saying how, you know, Ridley Scott's a great director until he hands his films over to the studio. And then they just they edit the crap out of them and just destroy them.
Yeah.
You know? And it's all because of the pacing and the type of edits that they choose and stuff like that.
The Hustler actually got me thinking about that because it was the first black and it was the oldest movie I think I've ever seen.
That's a good point.
And it was so
the oldest movie you've ever seen.
Wow!
I'm gonna make you watch silent movies.
I'm not joking.
I want to make you watch
silent movies. I don't know what I'm gonna do.
I'm gonna make you watch Metropolis and.
I've seen the anime Metropolis.
I need to try it again.
I own Metropolis and Nosferatu.
I'll settle for The Searchers. If you can go back into the 50s and watch The Searchers, I'll be happy.
Anyway. Right. Moving on. Sorry, I didn't want to hijack the discussion.
This is the backseat.
Oh yeah, like hijacking a discussion ever happens around here.
Anyway, I was not a fan of The Hustler just because I cannot get past that kind of that feel barrier between my generation and because you gotta realize this movie was made in what, the 50s?
That's 1961.
That's three generations back. For me, at least.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah,
that's a hard jump for me.
Yeah, and that's fair, but the characters in this story should have still spoke to you in some way. I would think it was Jackie Gleason.
Come on,
I actually have to say I think the film.
You were just waiting for him to. Never mind. I was gonna make a damn Cannonball Run reference. You probably don't even know that.
Yeah, you're right. I don't know what that means. If that's a straight to the moon thing.
Are you sure you're not talking Smokey and the Bandit or seeing Cannonball Run also?
I was thinking Smokey and the Bandit.
Yeah.
I think the Honeymooners is awesome.
Anyway.
Yeah, The Honeymooners probably the greatest sitcom ever, maybe.
I am not going to argue with that in any way, shape, or form.
I love the qualification.
Maybe
greatest sitcom ever.
Hey,
maybe
Iraq definitely probably might have weapons of mass destruction, dude. I mean, that's the way it goes. Anyway.
Okay. All right. Quick, high level. What did you think of Color of Money? Since I asked, I'm not going first.
I enjoyed it, and I enjoyed it more than I enjoyed The Hustler.
I got a long answer to this.
Can you make it a short one?
High level. My answer is long. Move on.
Seeing it first, I thought I was watching it through the lens of, oh, it's a Scorsese movie. I'm going to watch it. I thought it was a weaker Scorsese movie in his library.
Mm-hmm. But and why did I point that out to you today? Why is it a weaker Scorsese movie?
You believe it's because of the insane violence that occurs in all of his other movies.
There is none in this one.
I would actually say that my favorite movies by him, Taxi Driver, Raging Bull, Last Temptation, they're all a lot more
violent.
It's not like Goodfellas and Casino and all that. I would say those films have a lot more going on in terms of like the psychotic main characters and whatnot.
Yeah, there weren't any psychos in this
one. There weren't any psychos. I think that's Tom Cruise is a little off his nuts. It's the psychoness that I really love.
That's it.
The Aviator, you know, like.
And Tom Cruise was only moderately psychotic, and he was in the beginning,
and then he's fine.
He was flighty, and he wasn't even psychotic; he was just flighty.
Yep,
that was just a character that he was playing.
Like, why Tom Cruise would settle for Mary Elizabeth Mastrantonio, I think, is the truly that's psychotic the big question, element yeah. in the picture. But
well, she was mostly naked most of the time.
Well, and she looked all right. Anyway, all of that aside, so I saw it as kind of a weaker Scorsese movie. But after having seen it a second time, I liked it a lot more. And then, after watching The Hustler today, I thought, I really want to see it again, because it actually is such an awesome dovetail to The Hustler, which I didn't pick any of that
yeah,
up the
with,
first two
without
times
seeing,
I saw it.
It's tough to watch The Color of Money without seeing The Hustler.
Yeah.
You miss a lot of the nuance
in
Color of Money without seeing The Hustler.
I totally agree with that. After having seen The Hustler, I was very pleased with The Color of Money, because I actually, midway through the movie, I was like, oh, you know what, I don't really like this. But then I figured out that Paul Newman is the same dude from The Hustler.
That's Fast Eddie Felsen.
I'm like, oh my god, he's playing the same dude 30 years later. Oh. Now the movie makes sense to me. So,
and it had a really nice resonance to when we watched Rocky Balboa.
Mm-hmm.
It's
almost the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Except you
just forget the rest of the movies happen. Just look at Rocky and Rocky Balboa.
Right.
And then you watch The Hustler and Color of Money. You get that same,
which is exactly what I did do with Rocky.
Yeah.
I did forget that 2 through 5 ever happened.
If it makes you feel any better, I have never seen a single Rocky movie.
That doesn't make me feel good at all.
No, that's kind of a shame.
Why is that a
shame? It makes me want to contribute to a fund in your name to go see Rocky movies.
Yeah, no, trust me, the list of movies. No, don't point.
I got them.
No, don't point. Anyway, okay. So, which movie do you want to dig into first?
I think The Hustler. We should start with The Hustler, yeah.
Okay.
Basically, The Hustler is a pretty straightforward character study about a guy who...
I'm actually surprised that's not a Scorsese movie.
What? Really?
Why? Because it is a very...
Which Scorsese one? Wait a minute.
Hustler. I'm very... It's in the style of Scorsese. It's the Scorsese of 61.
Okay. I can see that.
Because, I mean...
I can see that.
I mean, it starts off with the dude, and he's already at the top of his game.
It's a little bit less stylistic. Yeah.
He starts off at the top of his game, and then the movie is
I can see why Scorsese was drawn to do Color of Money. Because of what happened in The Hustler.
Usually Scorsese's films have an inverse, you know, arc. Like, in Hustler, he's on top, he bottoms out, and then he finds meaning and resolution at the end in some way.
Right.
Scorsese's movies, they rise fast, and then they fall, and they don't necessarily learn anything. Like, the audience learns, but the character himself usually doesn't learn.
Right.
They either die, or they just, you know, fade into relative obscurity. Or
it's undecided.
Or psychoness, you know. So it's like, you know. So I would say, yeah, I think The Hustler, though, had some fairly progressive dramatic elements for a movie made in the early 60s. I mean, he was dealing with a lot of themes. Like, I thought the woman in it was very progressive for a movie at that time. I thought that was pretty impressive. You know, that they tackled some of those ideas. So, I don't know.
I can't relate to that time, because it was like they talked about random casual sex without talking about random casual sex. And I was like, I don't know if I should be weird about this or not.
But see, in the fact that they even tried to discuss it in some way, to me, seems pretty, you know, significant for the time it was made or whatever. Mm-hmm. And maybe I haven't seen enough movies from that period to peg that right, but, you know.
I've seen one movie from that period.
Which one is that?
The Hustler. So, somebody in the chat room is intimating that I cannot relate properly to our time currently, and I think that is ridiculous.
Why? Because you live you in can't... the future?
No, because I live in the present, like everybody else.
That makes no sense. I'm confused.
How could I not relate
is this
to the
Phil? Film? Is Phil? Is Phil making this? Yeah, this is a, okay.
He's being a jerk face.
So the Hustler.
We also we've also had a call out to the chat room to know how much we've had to drink so far.
I'm on three beers.
It's my second beer.
And I'm drinking margarita mix. Just I'm because drinking... I got it really cheap at the grocery store and I just do it.
You seem to be going to town on it, so.
Wow.
I've almost got an entire bottle.
I guess I am. I guess I was. I'm only on one, well, but it's one whole bottle.
He has a massive glass, and he's probably poured 2/3 of the bottle into that glass, so he has yet to drink it.
Now the glass is empty.
The glass is empty. The glass is completely empty now.
It's all in that glass. So.
So, what did you guys pull out of the Hustler?
Luke. Pulled Luke out of the Hustler.
That's
I was surprised. Here's what I was surprised about, having seen Color Money first, that he came away with a greater
and learned.
Yeah, a learned man, because he's obviously doing George C. Scott's character at the beginning of Color of Money, which makes me ask, what happened in 25 years? Like, did you just become, like, you know, part of the machine again? Or, like, you know, like, so I'm, like, asking that question. So...
No, I think that was actually cool. That, like, at the end of the movie, you've got this kind of... Well, you know what? He's learned his lesson. He's actually walked away from the entire situation learning something and growing as a person. But then you see him later. Nah, just right back to where he was. Only he's better at it now.
Well, he's better at it now, and he's come up with a way to make a living at it that doesn't necessarily involve gambling with being a beer distributor.
He's an investor.
Right. Right. So it's different. It's not as seedy. It's not as underhanded.
It's like the middle management.
But he's
of
good at it. But he's good at it.
He's good at it.
He's got a lot of money to show for it.
But what he's doing with Cruz?
Well, hold on. Let's not go into a Color of Money.
Okay. Let's stay on Hustler. You know what? We'll do our split when we do our normal split. We'll come back and do Color of Money. Okay. We were talking about movies that are, you know, 37 and 20 years old, something like that. We're not going to worry about spoilers in any of this. So we're just going to talk about Hustler when we're ready to jump to Color Money. That's when we'll do our normal little break thing. Okay.
Basically, the original question you asked had to do with the Hustler, you know, going into the Color of Money, and what did we take away from the Hustler going into the Color of Money?
What did you take away from the Hustler?
The learned lesson seemed to be, you know, actually, for its time, I think the movie is pretty great. I mean, it was ahead of its time in a way. I mean, in that it was pretty seedy. I mean, it never crossed the line or anything, but it was pretty seedy. It dealt with some pretty significant moral elements. And then he ends up learning a lesson in the end and pays a price. You know, I mean, it didn't all work out, you know, like it usually did.
And it played in
the early 60s. So.
Right, and it played on one of his major character flaws, which was, well, at least at the beginning, was his arrogance.
Right, exactly.
And I thought that was an interesting thing, because you could just pick up from the opening scene where he's in the first pool hall.
Right.
And he's playing the guy, and he's pretending he's drunk and all that kind of stuff. And you can just, he's just oozing smarm.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that ends up coming back to bite him in the ass later,
mm-hmm.
when he cannot stop playing Jackie Gleason.
Yeah.
And then moving on from there to the rest of the stuff that he does.
Right. Yeah, it's... I think there's a lot you can take out of it. I think that's one of the things that made the movie great, is that there's it's seedy enough that you don't have to feel completely connected with every character. But you can identify with, you can feel identified to certain characters, and you can feel identified to Fast Eddie in that you watch his mistakes, mm-hmm. and he projects his mistakes. You know exactly how he's going to fail, and you're watching him fail,
every second of that whole extended sequence where he's drunk and he's playing against Jackie Gleason, whose mm-hmm. name I can't remember.
Minnesota Fats.
Every second of that is just like, dude, just walk away. Every second of that is like, dude, just walk away. Come on.
Well, at one point, he's up $18,000, which at that time
was a lot.
It's a lot now.
It's not small change now.
$18,000 back then might be $100,000.
Right.
Now, you know?
Yep. And it's like, dude, just walk away. It's like watching Deal or No Deal and getting angry and throwing boot at the screen.
Dude, I've never done that. I watched that show once and I was like, take the money.
Yeah.
You bastard.
You got $250,000 they want to give you. Just walk away.
We almost got kicked out of Fortell's because I was drunk. And they had it on the big screen.
I find that completely hard to believe.
Fortell seems like they'd roll with that.
There were kids all over the place. It was a bad scene. Parents would give me. It was a bet. Anyway, and that was actually a really cool scene.
That scene actually resonates a little bit with a movie we talked about. Completely jumping, a movie we talked about a while ago. The scene in Chasing Amy, just to bring it back to a more modern movie that some of our listeners may have seen.
How he's going to screw up, and he still does.
Where he brings in his. His girlfriend and his buddy.
Oh yeah.
And he proposes the threesome, and you know he's going there, and you can see it, and you're just, don't do it. And they're both sitting there saying, shut up, stop, don't go there. We know what you're gonna say. Stop doing it. I mean, and that's kind of the feeling you get watching Fast Eddie and Kevin Costner's movie Tin Cup.
Has a similar experience. What a great movie, by the way.
That movie has a similar scene in it also.
Yes, but it does in the middle of the movie.
Right.
But you know what the thing is somehow he gets rewarded for that behavior at the end of that movie. So it's a little inconsistent in that he chooses to lose.
Right.
And he comes away with the real immortal record, which is the significance of that event. You know.
Yeah.
Which, anyway.
You know. See Tin Cup.
I've never seen it, so.
Oh, it's awesome.
Tin Cup's a good one.
So, I think that The Hustler was pretty progressive for its time, and yet it held a good traditional story arc. I can see why it was so successful.
I think there's a lot you can take away from the character of Fast Eddie, though, too. As a viewer, I think you can project yourself on him, and there are times when you see yourself making mistakes that you feel like... You can see how Fast Eddie can get caught up in that moment and drawn in and dragged down
I totally agree with you there, but it's difficult for me to relate to people who are caught up in the moment when the moment lasts for 36 hours. That's not a moment.
If you're
that's a lot of moments.
Of competitive nature, I mean,
And you're drunk. For 36 hours.
I mean, I'm about to wrestle you two guys here in about 30 minutes right now. I mean, you just give me a couple more beers, I'm going to win.
I know.
And I don't care if it takes 36 hours.
And the part of me who is the compulsive gambler, who, while he's drunk, will still pitch in money on the hand, like the 2-8 offsuit, mm-hmm. and hold them. I understand that, but you know what? I can't do it for a marathon day and a half.
But he was so good, see? His arrogance, the idea that you went back to, his self-regard. I mean, he thought he was the best there was. And you get the impression by the end of the movie that in some ways he always was, but mm-hmm. he didn't have the other intangibles.
You know what? You can be the best there is, but if you can crack that armor, if you can break a person from their focus... You can destroy how good they are.
It's completely a psychological game. It's not just just like they said. It's not just about talent. You got to have the psychological elements.
Right.
Got to be organized in the mind.
Yeah. About 10 or so. Probably about 12 years ago. I played in a field hockey league as a goalie. And we played, our team was just a bunch of random guys. And the teams we were playing against were guys who knew what they were doing. They were organized. They practiced. We were getting our ass kicked every game. There was one game we were just getting trounced. These guys were, you know, every shot they were making, they were scoring goals. They were passing. Every goal was getting past me. I started taunting the guys who were passing. I'm like, come on. You pussies can't make a straight shot to save your life. Shoot at me. Come on. You can't get a shot past me.
Got inside their head.
I got inside their head. And they started shooting at me instead of passing for the win. Granted, they were up by like 8 goals, so it really didn't matter.
They still won. So.
But they stopped getting any farther.
You sure they weren't just aiming for your head?
At that point, you know what? My head was higher than the level of the net. It wasn't getting past me. Booyah. I win.
That's awesome. I really liked how
taking one for the team. Anyway, go ahead.
All right.
Well, I really liked how at the end he got organized, you know, and the cost of that, he had to lose someone he loved in order to recognize
accomplish
that
he had to sacrifice to get there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that is in a way a Scorsese-ish kind of thing.
That's what I'm saying. It was a Scorsese movie from 61 without Scorsese.
Yeah, except the thing is, he wouldn't even know it at the end of a Scorsese movie. Well, usually. But
I'm just saying, it has all of the characteristics of the character study of a Scorsese movie.
I think that's absolutely true.
Okay. Absolutely I'm just saying true. That, but...
I think Scorsese would have made some different choices.
I think so too, but you also have to remember that Scorsese was directing movies in a different era.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I think that
absolutely.
If you apply the era filter to it...
I don't think you could have made that movie.
No, you couldn't have.
I don't think Scorsese could have made...
You couldn't have made any
his
Scorsese
version
movies.
Of that movie in 1961 because the studio would have wanted more of a wrap-up.
It's really interesting. Once The Godfather was made...
That broke,
it
yeah.
It was completely different. And then once Chinatown
Jesus.
Was made... Huh? Oh,
I've never seen The Godfather. I've actually read The Godfather.
It's a great book.
But not seen the movie.
Well, great book.
That's good. I mean, if you know what The Godfather is like, then.
Yeah.
Then was
the movie was...
Semen running down legs? Yeah.
The movie was pretty faithful to the book.
Yeah, the second movie is a lot different.
The second movie is
fantastic. I like how Meg is telling me I'm fired. Don't fire me from my own show. You're not even on my show. Get out of here. Anyway.
Then in Chinatown, Roman Polanski takes a completely nihilistic turn.
Wow, does he?
And I think, and that really gets to the point where Martin Scorsese can make Taxi Driver. So by the mid-70s, the film industry is completely different because those three movies were made, and it's a totally different, you know, like
it's
character
a different
arc,
ball
moral
game,
compass.
Yeah.
It's,
right.
It's completely different then after those three movies. Yep. So, yeah.
All right, what time are we at? Because I think we need to transition to...
I think you're right. I think without even looking at the time, we know...
I don't know when you started recording.
I don't either. Don't worry
about
it.
And actually, I'm just really going by the infallible timepiece.
The bladder clock?
The bladder. So.
Yeah, I feel you.
I tell you what.
Not in a bladder literal way.
So let's go ahead and take the break.
Yeah, we'll go ahead and take the break.
Go ahead and take the break. It'll be a couple seconds while peeing and beering happen. So we'll be right back, guys.
See ya.
Hey, Mom, I just finished another patio book. Now which one should I listen to?
I don't know. There's so many choices. If only there was a way to know before you subscribe.
Have you ever asked yourself that question? With all of the patio books now available, just how do you decide what to listen to? If you have, then I invite you to listen to Patio Media Chat. Every week or so, I invite a different author to sit down and tell us about their book and why they embrace this fashion of storytelling. Join me, Chris Moody, at www.patiomediachat.com.
All right, let's get back to Color of Money.
Right. And we're back.
Yes,
wow.
We are.
This is the first time I think you've ever done it, have you?
I guess I don't know, so. Maybe. I don't know, it's the first time for everything, I guess.
You were just sick of the chat room.
I don't even understand what's going on.
We were spiraling downhill just reading the chat room.
All right. Color of Money. This is where I'm going to take this conversation in a very weird direction.
All right.
I watched The Hustler first.
Mm-hmm.
It was the first movie I think I've ever seen with Paul Newman in it.
So you haven't seen Cars?
No. I don't have kids.
Cars is a good movie.
I haven't seen Cars.
Cars is a good movie, though.
I'm not actually a
big... Doc Hollywood.
I guess, but I've never seen Doc Hollywood, so I'm not big into the cartoony younger generation type shows.
I've never seen
Finding Nemo. I've never seen most of the Pixar line.
That is sad. Pixar makes some fine films.
They do.
Anyway. What shocked me most about Color of Money, and what I think is probably the most depressing thing about the movie, is seeing Paul Newman from The Hustler to Color of Money.
How old he gets?
Yes, because there is almost 30 years difference.
Yeah.
And it is just like, he comes on the screen, and Melina's like, hey, is that the guy from The Hustler? And I was like, holy crap. And then it was just...
What's amazing is you didn't realize that's why I had us watch both of those movies.
Well, no. I realized that, but it was just so jarring seeing him 30 years later, and it was like, oh my god,
And then later in the movie...
Seriously, it was like a slap in the face of my own mortality.
The Bagsy producers have brought you to the precipice of your own mortality.
You know, what's funny is that movie is only like late 50s or early 60s.
Yeah.
I mean, he lived, but you know what? Almost 90.
Yeah, but the Paul Newman of 61, that dude was getting ladies left and right. The Paul Newman of Color of Money was not getting ladies left and right.
Oh. Fast Eddie Felsen of Color of Money may not be. Paul Newman still was.
Probably. But, you know, it was just jarring. It was like, oh, my God, I'm going to get old and die.
Well, he was still racing Formula One cars.
Yeah.
Jeez. So then I started thinking about my own inevitable demise and how I'm going to get old. And I was like, oh, my God, this is the worst movie ever. So then I seriously, for the first 45 minutes, hour of the movie, I was thinking about that. And
you
I was
cried.
Like, yeah, I can't. Yeah. I teared up a little bit. I'm not going to lie. I was like, this is terrible. This is awful.
That is
I am
hilarious.
Never going to be younger, fresher, or cooler than I am right now, which is a damn shame.
Oh, wait a minute. Cooler just keeps getting better.
Well,
the cooler keeps amping. I'm just saying.
Under the pimping tutelage of Tony Mast, pimp of the internet, I will probably get a little bit cooler.
You will advance in coolness levels.
Anyway, that was my big initial thought from
Ding.
Color of Money.
You just got another one.
That was my big initial thought from Color of Money.
Interesting. I did not know where you were going to... You said you were going to take it in an interesting way. I never would have assumed that was the way you were going to take it.
It was a personal revelation. I have...
That's...
Honestly, I'm...
That's
I'm,
interesting.
I know may hate when I point out how old I am, but at this stage of my life, I really seriously do consider myself still having the Superman complex of my teens.
Absolutely.
And it is
And by all rights, you should. You're 25.
It's unpleasant when I get the reminder that... Dude, Paul Newman was awesome in The Hustler. He was young. I mean, that dude had the run of Hollywood for
And now he's dead.
And now he's dead. So, that was an unpleasant realization.
47 years later.
Movie did not intend to take.
I mean, you're also talking 47 years later.
Yeah, that's a long time.
That's 47 if I'm lucky.
That's twice what you lived already.
Almost. Fair enough. That's what happens to people when they get old. Yes, I realize that's what happens to people when they get old. The unfortunate reality is that when you're a teenager, you don't
think about it.
I understand that, and I can logically tell you that that's true, but there's always that part of you that never will believe that is what's going to happen.
But you're actually going to get old.
No, and it's I find it really interesting that we have brought you to that. That's just it's.
There's another good movie along those lines if you want to think about this some more. It's called Atlantic City. And it's with Burt Lancaster.
Who?
And he's really old in it. It's a good question. You ought to look him up on IMDb sometime. Anyway.
That's a good question. question.
It's Burt Lancaster, who we don't really know who he is at this point.
Okay. We have not.
He's old in that movie.
We have not uncovered the fog of war of Burt Lancaster. You know what we can do in the DSP universe.
We could really just turn this podcast into Adam's experience through film.
It is an autobiographical cathartic experience through film. See? We just keep proving that over and over again.
That was my biggest thought. My immediate slap-me-in-the-face thought when I started watching The Hustler. I have a couple other ones. Adam's Mortality Review. That is also a, that is also a good one. I had a couple other thoughts. Tom Cruise, for all the shit that he gets, the dude's got some chops.
He's a good actor. He is a good actor. He takes roles very seriously.
At least at that point in his life.
Even now.
I actually like the movies he's been in the past decade. I think they're great. He's been in Eyes Wide Shut, Minority Report.
I liked War of the Worlds.
I didn't see that one.
One thing I'll actually defend Tom Cruise on. I watched the episode of Oprah where he jumped on the couch. Okay, if you watch that whole episode, if you take that one scene out of context where he's jumping on the couch, he looks nuts. If you watch the 5 minutes leading up to that, where Oprah and the audience are priming him and pumping him up and feeding his ego, he starts off sitting down talking to Oprah, and he just starts getting more and more pumped by the audience, by Oprah. They're just feeding his ego, and he is just pumping it right back on him. These are a bunch of screaming, wet-panty, middle-aged women who are just...
Stop, you do not have to go there.
It's the truth, though.
Listen,
I mean,
listen,
it's just, in my it's world, just, that's the way it's going.
In my world, the women don't age past 27. They just don't.
You really need to watch...
You don't watch Oprah, do you?
No.
No. Why would I? Those aren't real women. Those are a voting statistic that politicians have to pander to.
You really need to see the movie... I'm blanking on it.
Good.
Arnold Schwarzenegger... Parody of action movies. Somebody
Last
help me out.
Action Hero.
Last Action Hero. That's the one.
That's a good movie.
That's a good movie. And they make that they make that joke that all the women are supermodels.
Yeah.
In the movie world.
Doesn't it, like when he comes out, doesn't he say, "Hey, you have ugly women here."
Favorite part is when he's shooting at the car and just keeps pumping round after round after round into the moving car, and it doesn't. And he's like, "What the hell?"
It's not blowing up. He runs out of bullets. He's like, "What's wrong with the gun?" That's a good movie. That's a really good movie. Hey, Meg, I know you're over 27. Well, you know what? You're off limits to me. I'm going to go ahead and say it. We'll talk next Dragon Con.
All right.
So, what'd you think about Color Money?
I enjoyed it. I thought it was a really nice transition of the character of Fast Eddie and showing that his arrogance isn't gone. That he feels like he still has something to pass on. That he's arrogant. I mean, there's a point where his arrogance is enough that he believes that he can be as good at teaching the lesson that he got taught by Minnesota Fats to this kid.
Yep.
And I thought that was really interesting that he still was that same character, but in a lot of ways he succeeded in some of it. The failing wasn't his. The failing was the guy he was trying to teach.
Why was the failing the guy he was trying to teach?
I think that's the question. I think that's one of the questions we get to by the end of the movie is one, was there ultimately a final lesson? When he's playing and losing before he goes and gets glasses, was that a lesson or was that real?
I see what you're saying.
I think depending on how you look at that scene, was that real or was that...
The Forest Whitaker scene,
yeah. Was that real? Did he really lose on purpose or was he really playing and losing?
Well, it wasn't even about the game at that point. It was about the hustle.
Right, but who was getting hustled?
That's my point.
Think either of them were being hustled. I think in that scene, he chose to lose his faculties because he had to, in some sense... You know, it's like in the first movie where he's like, you're a loser, you're a loser. It's like he reprises the role and the idea of being a loser because of his demons.
I disagree with that. I think he's making an example of himself to Tom Cruise's character as a lesson, as an object lesson. And I think he is, because he's in control every moment of the way up until that point.
Yep.
He's in complete control of every situation until that moment. And then the next scene you see him in is he's talking to those two and he says, I'm done. I can't teach you anymore. You're better off without me. We're done.
The way the movie progresses...
And he has set it up to where he is giving them permission to go off and grow on your own because I'm really done with you.
Well,
he's avoiding the sappy love scene, the sappy goodbye scene.
But see, when you first watch the movie, you get the impression that he doesn't think he can hack it anymore, so he has nothing to teach him.
Why? I get that impression, but to me, it was never about the pool. It was always about the hustle. And that was what he was really good at. Regardless of his skill with the pool, that was secondary. When he is upset with Forrest Whitaker, he's not pissed because he's losing the pool game. He's not pissed because Forrest Whitaker is a quote-unquote better pool player. He asked him point blank, are you hustling me? Are you a hustler? And he asks him it over and over again. And he is pissed when Forrest Whitaker doesn't give him the answer.
Right.
Forrest Whitaker shows him his skill at pool.
Yeah.
Everybody at the table knows what he can do at the pool table. But he wants to know, one hustler to another, dude, are you hustling me or what? And when Forrest Whitaker doesn't answer him, then he gets pissed. He's like, I have lost the only game that matters to me, and that's the hustle.
I think that's pretty good. I mean,
I think that all plays into the lesson he's trying to teach Tom Cruise. Too.
Totally agree. I think...
Interesting.
I think Paul Newman is hustling that whole situation.
I agree.
Everybody. He is hustling everybody. He's hustling Forrest Whitaker. He's hustling Tom Cruise.
That's
he's
very
hustling...
possible. I think that would be in spirit of his character, but what I think is interesting is the movie on one level makes it look like he's going through the same character arc.
But at the same time, he realizes that he has that he still enjoys the game of pool.
Yep.
The thing is, it's hard to hustle in the competition. The hustling takes place in the back room.
Yep.
So mm-hmm. why did he go through the trouble of getting the glasses and getting his eyes checked if he just didn't want to get his ass on that floor and play some pool?
It's the scene where he and Tom Cruise are in one of the pool halls, and Tom Cruise is like, well, who am I going to play? Well, you're going to play me. And then he starts playing, and you can almost see, he's like, yeah, I haven't played pool in 25 years or whatever. And then he starts playing, and then you can almost see the satisfaction on his face.
Yep.
Where he enjoys it. And then,
so let me ask you
is at that point, it is at that point where he starts to kind of flake out on the whole, well, I'm going to ride my horse all the way to the victory line. And then he's like, I can ride myself to the victory line because I enjoy this and I love the game.
So when Tom Cruise takes the dive in the championship,
mm-hmm.
takes the money, what do you think Fast Eddie's real reaction to that was? Do you think it was that he was disappointed that he didn't really beat Tom Cruise and he fell for the hustle? Or do you think he was disappointed that Tom Cruise hustled and didn't play the game?
I think he's pissed because Tom Cruise hustled him.
But did he fall for it?
Did he fall for it? Yeah.
He did fall for it.
He fell for it hard.
Yeah. That whole ending is really interesting. And I think you could take it a lot of ways.
Yeah, I think he's
pissed. And that's the great thing about it. I really like the ending of that movie.
I think he's pissed because he won and fell for the hustle. And if he doesn't win and not fall for the hustle... If he's not in total control of the situation and win, then it's a loss to him. If he doesn't satisfy both victory conditions, then he's lost.
Well, in the end, he said, Tom Cruise says, it stings like a bitch, doesn't it? And he says, yeah, it does.
Yep.
And then he's like, let's just play a game you know, it's just, you know, no money, or I forget what it is, but it's basically...
It was for the envelope.
Yeah.
It was for the envelope. Okay, so it was
For the $8,000.
Yeah.
Okay. So in that way, maybe there was a hustle going on, because it was...
At that point, the $8,000 was
really
nothing.
Yeah,
they don't. I mean, it could have been playing for drinks at that point.
Right.
At the point those guys were at.
Yep. And that's why I think that entire... Because if you look at it in terms of a hustler, the hustler, the movie, is the entire tanking of who he is as that profession.
Yeah.
And then Color of Money is his rise back to that. And you can make the same argument for a pool player. I mean, if you want to go for the straight physical and the less kind of not physical. I don't even know.
What are you... Just say, metaphysical?
Sure, let's go metaphysical. If you can, they're parallel things. Because the pool playing is just representative of the hustling.
Yeah.
I mean, basically, it's just the game in the background. You're playing it against one person, it's the same thing. It's just a physical representation of the hustling.
Right.
So, I think that is an awesome... It's like Star Wars. The first three is the fall of Anakin, and then the last three is the rise and redemption of Darth Vader.
Gotcha.
Come on, everybody's with me, come on.
Yes.
Don't give me your blank stares.
I'll follow you there. I'll walk down that path.
Good. Because if you don't, it'll be real weird.
Paul Newman won the Oscar for Color of Money.
He deserved it.
First Oscar he won.
First. Who won the Hustler year?
I don't know.
61.
Come on, Tony.
Sorry.
Maybe,
Didn't do that research.
Maybe, Sidney Poitier? Guess who's coming to dinner?
That very well could be.
What? You weren't supposed to know that.
Freak! I don't know. I just think that might be the year.
What did you think of the chick?
Which chick?
Mary Elizabeth Mastrantonio? In Color of Money.
Color of Money?
I combined him to Cussler.
Cussler.
Color
she
of Money.
Clearly is in more control than the girl in The Hustler.
Yeah.
She is...
Yes. The girl in The Hustler was unfortunately sidled with the 61 oeuvre
character
of a female.
Yeah.
This one is professional, once is in on The Hustle, wants to be in control.
I think
she thinks she has more control than she has.
She doesn't think she's playing Paul Newman's game.
Right.
But she's playing
She's been playing that game since before they met.
Yep.
Because she's been playing him. What's his name?
Maximilian Schell.
Vincent?
61, according to JB63. Maximilian Schell.
Okay.
I don't know what that was for. So.
Well, may have a war movie.
Either way around that, I don't know. She was alright, but... She didn't really do anything for me.
Yeah, I mean, interesting character. She tried to play Paul Newman a few times, and he saw what was going on. He saw right through her.
Judgment Nuremberg. Just Maximilian Schell.
Just kind of a war movie.
She tried to play Paul Newman, and Paul Newman's like, yeah, if you're going to play us, if you're going to try and play me, let's just do it.
Yeah.
And if not, don't waste my time.
Right.
Yeah. That was an awesome scene. And he's like, I like it in the shower. Get in there, bitch. That was an awesome scene. Tom Cruise? Any comprehensive thoughts on Tom Cruise?
I thought he did a fine job. He did the job that he was hired to do.
My only complaint with that was that the flakiness that he had, like in the first couple scenes, they kind of set him up as almost being mentally unstable.
Yes.
And it was like, because he's dancing around the pool table, and you're like, dude, what the hell's going on with this guy?
Yeah, I mean, it was a little bit over the top, but.
It was the 80s,
and that was Tom Cruise, and
he had an afro, a ridiculous earring.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
Yep,
I really want to see The Color of Money again now that I've seen The Hustler.
You should. I think that seeing The Hustler adds a lot to Color of Money.
Seeing both of them together really ties them together
you
nicely.
You start to see parallels between Fast Eddie from The Hustler and Tom Cruise. and it's real weird.
Yeah.
Because it's interesting. It wasn't considered, even though Paul Newman won the Oscar, wasn't really considered a successful movie, I don't think, on the terms of Scorsese making a successful movie at that time.
Right, right. I believe you're right.
He took a lot of chances.
It had a pretty good soundtrack, though.
Yeah.
I mean, it did.
But in terms of, I don't remember.
It had a hot music video for.
Oh really?
For it's in the way that you use it, the theme that Eric Clapton did for the movie.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Who's Eric Clapton?
Don't make me throw shit at you.
Scorsese in the 80s.
The chat room will pay me to shiv you right now.
He didn't win the Oscar, but his movie Raging Bull was nominated for 10 awards. Then he makes The King of Comedy, which is a great movie. And that movie takes some chances. Then he really starts to take chances because he made a comedy, After Hours. Then he makes Color of Money, which people thought...
Scorsese made After Hours?
Yeah.
No, I'm thinking Night Shift. Never mind.
Night Shift? I smell Stephen King.
No. Anyway, Night Shift was Henry Winkler and...
That's the Fonz.
Michael Keaton.
That's Batman.
Yes, it is. Batman... Wait. This gets better. Batman and the Fonz working in a morgue. Batman and the Fonz working in a morgue. They decide... They turn the morgue into a whorehouse. It's awesome.
Good deal.
This may be the greatest movie ever.
We should review it next week.
We do need to pick a movie.
Speaking of, have you gentlemen both seen, I know we've seen The Dark Knight.
Why do you ask me this?
Iron Man.
No. I've not seen Iron Man.
Fuck.
Iron Man, it's good.
I know.
Have you seen The Hulk?
No.
Okay.
What is wrong?
I've got The Hulk.
What did you do this year?
A lot.
It was like all these great movies came out this year.
You know, there's a lot of great movies that came out a lot of previous years that you haven't seen either. So.
Yeah, but
I was watching those movies this year.
I wasn't alive for those movies, Toby.
Hey. The original Captain America, no thank you.
The next backseat producers will be Zach and Mary. So you don't have to decide until then.
True.
Bam, man. Saved by Jake. Hey, Lachlan.
So, are we going to broadcast next week? Is the question. It'll be kind of lame.
I'm
going to
be real honest with you.
I'm
going to be real honest with you. I'm very behind on both editing. Oh, no. We're not going to broadcast next week.
Yeah, right. we're not going to broadcast next week.
Right.
Yeah, we're not. So, any of you guys listening right now, we are not going to be broadcasting next week.
Yep.
Because we are going to be recording off cycle, because we are seeing Zach and Mary this weekend on Saturday afternoon with
Wednesday
a big ass group of people. We're going to record then.
Yep, and then next Wednesday we've got a project we're working on that we're not going to be able to stream.
The three of us will be getting together. We will be recording it, but we will not be streaming it because it's sensitive information that can't be released just yet. Contracts are involved. Literally, contracts are involved.
Literally, contracts are involved. So.
Literally.
Not speaking figuratively or with hyperbole. This is literal.
I was literally scared out of my clothes. Now I'm naked.
It's terrifying. Now the rest of us are scared in our clothes because we are literally, not getting out of our clothes.
Literally,
we're scared in our clothes, yeah.
Figuratively or literally? Allison Hannigan is really hot, but now she's pregnant, which makes me sad.
Alrighty.
Just thought I'd toss that out.
There's no better way to end a podcast about The Hustler and The Color of Money than that right there.
I totally agree. Everybody stick around because I want to.